when the world is ruled by violence. And it's the B-movie mania off-season. The maniac's path shall be darkened by the shadows of the neon maniacs on...
Wait, what are we calling these mini-episodes?
Quick takes?
Quick takes!
I'm Jason Halls. I'm hosting this first quick take where it's just two of the B-movie mania crew, and I chose this first film, and so I also chose Mike to join me on this little adventure.
Well, Jay, I am flattered that you chose me to get on this adventure with you because it was exhilarating.
Yes. The movie I chose was something that you can find on Shout Factory or YouTube. It is called Neon Maniacs.
The Neon Maniacs.
It is a 1986 horror film, and it had some good moments.
Oh, man. I loved a lot of the moments in it. I'll be honest. I really liked this movie.
So, at this point, are we doing, like, a quick take within a quick take? Like, this is a quick... The episode is a quick take, but can we do, like, a real quick take?
What if we do quick takes?
Okay, let's do quick takes.
Quick takes!
Mike, what was your quick take?
Oh, yeah. Right, they got to be super quick, right?
Oh, that's true. That's true. Then I guess mine would be, that's pretty quick, pasta breath.
That's pretty quick, pasta breath.
Oh, fuck.
So the summary, we're going to give you the good old YouTube garden variety summary here. For Neon Maniacs.
The Neon Maniacs.
A group of teenagers in San Francisco discover a nest of homicidal monsters living in a tower of the Golden Gate Bridge. But when they try to tell authorities, no one believes them.
This movie makes no sense, but it doesn't try to. It just says, fuck it, let's just do this.
And, you know, there's a lot going right here. For it,
oh,
I gotta
yeah.
say, it's an enjoyable film, but yeah, it doesn't make a lick of sense. It makes less sense than a lot of the movies that we watch.
Yeah. There's this movie doesn't attempt to explain anything; it just exists.
Yeah, it. You know what? That's a great way to put it because I actually tried to do research for this and like look up some interesting behind the scenes facts or anything like that. There's no story.
No.
This movie seemingly nothing. Just came out of nowhere.
I want this movie to happen again. Like, give me a 30-year later, like, prequel. Or it's just sequel or whatever.
Yeah, like, some of the people never acted again. Like, Paula, one of the main characters in the film. She's like a horror aficionado, and she kind of figures out a lot of what's going on. If anybody's figuring it out, Paula is.
Yeah.
And, like, unless my research is off, she never did anything else.
Nothing else. I was watching this with our friend Tim Bevlinka, and we were just like flipping through everyone's stuff and like, oh, these people did some other stuff. And she was really fun in the movie and just nothing. I found some like stuff on Facebook of her or something like that. It looks like she's just living the dream doing something else.
Yeah, you know, I know that happens a lot, but yeah, it was just odd. Like, there's really not much trivia on the IMDb page. There's really nothing on the Wikipedia page. There's really nothing that comes up from, you know, fairly quick Google search. It's just like this movie just kind of happened.
Yeah, as weird and sporadic as the litany of monsters in this movie, without any origin. Is the people involved.
Yeah, okay. So just to briefly sort of go through some of the plot here, it opens where you've got a fisherman walking home at night in San Francisco, and he finds a cow skull, like the skull of a steer. For no reason. It's in an open doorway. It's like holding a door open, this skull. And because I guess this is what you do when you find skulls, he takes it out of the door and turns it over and finds like neon maniac trading cards is what they look like. It's tarot cards.
Yeah, it's like someone put their like press kit inside of a skull.
Yeah.
And that's it.
He gets axed to death, and I don't know what happens of the with the cards, but they're gone.
Why are there pictures of these cards? It's a weird pile of monsters, and there's no reason to have cards apart from.
That would be like, you know, Night of the Living Dead, and one of the characters in the house finds cards of all the zombies that are outside. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
Throw common sense out the window here. Throw any sort of logic out the window and have fun with it. Much like our birthday gang.
Is this the gang that's out in the park?
Yeah, they're out for, was it Natalie's birthday?
They've driven a van. They've driven a van into this Golden Gate Park, and they are either breaking something or fucking.
You don't have to go into detail here. But have you ever been with a group of people and partied in a van? Maybe the van ended up at a park. I don't know. But have you ever partied in a van?
Maybe. Yeah. Not like that. Like a high schooler would party, though.
That's something the four of us in B-Movie Mania should do. We should party in a van sometime.
Well, there's a good chance in about 5 years, Paul will have a van like that he's living in. So we could probably just visit him.
That's true. We'll visit Paul's home.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, you said it. The gang is at the park. They're drinking, doing the coitus, all kinds of stuff. And very quickly, the Neon Maniacs attack. I mean, they walk out of the woods, right? They just walk up.
Yeah. But Jay, what are the Neon Maniacs? Can you describe this obviously probably just very coordinated outfit of bad guys?
Yeah. I did love it. I did love what the Neon Maniacs were. Each one of them had their own thing. Like, there was a samurai Neon Maniac. There was a doctor Neon Maniac. There was one guy that looked kind of like the Toxic Avenger. I don't know if he was like a janitor Neon Maniac, but like every one of them had a distinct look.
There was like a wolf one. There was just no rhyme or reason. It was as if they just like, they had to find one of every profession. Like, it was like it's like the village people became zombies or something.
I have that in my notes. It is like the village people of monsters. It's so weird. So, and there's really no reason why they're called the Neon Maniacs either.
No, maniacs maybe. Neon, no clue. There's nothing to do. I think that
was just a popular term in 86.
Probably.
But so, one thing that was somewhat surprising is that almost the entire crew dies quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone
all in the same, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, everyone but Natalie, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, well, and while Natalie's talking to one of the other girls, the other girl says something like, oh, you're like the last virgin in San Francisco. And there's a howl in the distance that they hear. If the virgin idea was supposed to be a thing, that never materialized.
No. I think whoever wrote this just took every trope in the book and just kind of shook it around.
Yes. Whether or not mashed it up.
Yeah. Cause the ending, when we get to the ending here, the ending doesn't make any sense either.
No, it doesn't. No. So the Neon Maniacs start stalking everyone. Eventually this guy named Steven, who likes Natalie, they get together. They kind of like bond over this, the fact that she's being stalked. You get Paula in there. She's the young horror aficionado. They all go to school together. Paula's kind of the one who actually wants to figure out what's going on. Natalie's friends are dead. Oh, what was that line you liked? In the main fight in the opening when all the kids are dying in the park, there was one of those just dudes. What did he say? When confronted with the Neon Maniacs.
Oh, there was like some jerk off jock that was like something. What did he say? Something about like he can go both ways or something like that.
Yeah. You guys want to play rough? Go both both ways, bozos.
And then he gets his ass kicked and dies.
He dives at them to attack them, and the guy sidesteps and wraps a noose around his neck and strangles him to death. Which, because there's a noose guy. There's a guy whose thing is a noose.
Yeah, there's so many just different guys. There's a Native American guy we didn't mention. He's in it a lot. He's one of the main ones. And it's like no one was allowed to like step on anyone's territory for the maniacs. No. They're like, no, dude.
And they really just live in a very well manicured area of the San Francisco, like Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
There's a big door and they just come out of the door.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's not creepy or anything.
No, it's just the space. It's just like, yeah, okay, someone probably does live there. Like homeless people probably live there.
Right. So the kids try to tell the police what happened, and the police don't really do anything.
No, they think they're lying. They're just like, but just a bunch of jerk-off kids, I believe is a quote from there.
Yes.
Just a bunch of jerk-off kids.
So they don't do anything, but this introduced a character who I feel was very, very underused, and that is Inspector Devin.
Oh, yeah. The guy who hangs around at the police station at 2 a.m. smoking cigars?
Yeah, like, he's great, but very underused.
He pops in a couple times, but they go nowhere with him. Like, literally, the movie ends and he shows up at the end. It's like, all right, cool. I guess you were right.
The thing I really enjoyed about his character was the fact that, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but he completely buys in eventually to what this crazy story is. Like, when the kids finally kind of tell him again and get through to him, he goes all in on it.
Yeah.
And I that's not usually what you would see. You would usually see the hard-nosed cop being like, whatever, kid, you know, you're probably just seeing things. I don't, you know, just not believing what they're saying. But he's just like, oh, yeah, okay. And like, I thought he could have been great in this movie had he been given more to do.
Yeah. Had he been allowed to be in it.
Yes. He should have been the Donald Pleasance of Neon Maniacs. The kids, you know, they go back to school. They try to get back to normal life. It's another movie where all the kids look like they're 40.
Yeah.
We have more of Steven and Natalie bonding throughout the movie. The Neon Maniacs pretty much just show up everywhere.
Yeah. And, right? And the thing with them, yeah, they seem kind of like zombies of sorts, right? But they're not, because like at some point, Steven and Natalie are like, They're at the subway, and the Neon Maniacs are chasing, because they got to kill Natalie for some reason. They've decided they have to kill her.
Yeah, they focused on her. Yeah. Like, she escaped them the first time.
That, or I wonder if the virgin subplot was supposed to be part of that, like, but they didn't make the connect. Like, the connection was not made with the viewer at all, but I wonder if they came because there was a virgin there or something, but that was never established, apart from hinting at that she was a virgin. But they show up everywhere. They're in the subway. They literally can use a subway train, and they drive it at some point. One of the guys drives the subway train.
Well, another one shoots lightning at a turnstile.
Oh, yeah. There's an electric maniac.
Yeah. But, yeah, they get onto the train. They kill the guy driving the train. You know, that was a pretty decent scene. It's goofy because the Neon Maniacs just run past the guy who's monitoring the whole thing. Like, you know, the guy who lets you in the ticket booth.
Yeah.
They just kind of move past him.
He's like, fuck it. I make 50 cents an hour. Fuck it. Go. <Right. laughs>
The kids escape the train because I think it just stops when it needs to stop and the doors just open. Like, doesn't it sort of crash or something?
Something. Yeah, it doesn't. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It just does.
Yeah. And Paula ends up back at their hideout. She's a filmmaker, so she's trying to get all this on tape. And what she ends up discovering is the Neon Maniacs will melt if they get wet.
That's what happens. She sees them sneaking out of their lair, and it starts raining. Like, or he trips and gets in the puddle or whatever, right? And it also is raining. And that's when – and that's before – she does the murder.
Paula does the murder?
Yeah. Well, when they break into her apartment.
Oh, right.
And then she like somehow gets it into the shower and just it's like a 2 minute long just scream session of of this neon maniac in the water just melting and gargling gook. And it's pretty good. Like the practical effects in it were pretty good.
Yeah. And so that's just kind of another question I had. It's like, okay, now they're coming after Paula. Is it because Paula saw them, or why did they decide they have to kill her? And how did it just end up in her room without anyone noticing? Because she lives with her parents.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing I didn't even think of. Like, she's got a fucking, I mean, like, maybe it melts the whole way, so it just went all down the drain, but mom and dad are going to come up there to check on her at some point. They're just going to find this corpse in the bathroom.
Yes. So again, the rules aren't real clear. There is a scene also when Stephen and Natalie are running and they get off of the train and onto a bus. One of them reaches through the bus window to choke Stephen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His arm ends up coming off, and the bus fills with smoke. And there was a kind of a funny moment because they take the arm and they throw it out the window in front of this random dude who's walking his dog.
That's it. We gotta move out of this neighborhood, Elmo.
So there's some pretty, like, nice little gags.
Yeah, there's definitely some good humor.
Eventually, they decide the kids need to, like, try to draw the neon maniacs out, and they get this idea to go to a band competition.
It's like the high school dance, right? Like, but it's also like local bands are playing.
Yeah, it's a battle of the bands. And so they decide to give everyone in the battle of the bands a water gun.
Yeah. Hey everyone, you won't believe this, but there's a bunch of neon maniacs coming. Here's a water gun. You're gonna want it. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, they do not go over what the pitch was for that. It doesn't really go well. We do get a lot of music though. Steven is in the band, and he's a solid dude. He starts to rock. If baby lied to me, she must have lied to you. The other band is like a metal band.
Yeah.
Whereas Steven's is more of your nice pop music.
Yeah. For 86.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the only line in the other metal band song is the phrase, "We had enough." We had enough. We had enough. They had enough. So, yeah. So, do you remember how what happens when the Neon Maniacs get to the school? Because they do show up. They are drawn in for some reason.
No clue why. Maybe Natalie. Maybe it's Paula. Who knows? But yeah, they start showing up and they creep into the school, into the dance where everyone's dancing and having a fun time. And no. Oh, yeah. Also, for some reason, it's a costume concert. Everyone's dressed up in costumes. I think the only reason is because that way the Neon Maniacs can hide amongst them. Like, there's no, it's not Halloween. It's not, and there, no one's dressed up in a theme. Like, hey, we're doing a Renaissance party or whatever the fuck you might do. that's not something anyone would do, but it's not a theme. Everyone's all over the place. It's just costumes, just wear costumes.
This is where you also get to see the fact that they're constantly adding new and different maniacs to the mix.
Yeah.
There's a doctor one now.
Yeah. And the doctor one isn't just like, oh, look, there's a new doctor maniac. It's like he has a starring role in the next scene.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's all played by like three different people total. And they just wear different
costumes. I actually
think
so. I did read something about how they would double up on some of the maniacs. But yeah, the doctor one kills like a guard in the boiler room. There's a motorcycle neon maniac and he drives through.
Oh my god, the motorcycle. Yes. Hey, out of nowhere. Guess what? The motorcycle is just going to drive through the fucking dance floor. It's insane. It's so good.
So it is just odd. They walk into the party. The whole place runs. So the whole squirt gun thing doesn't work at all. And Paula, because Paula she's really on task the entire time. She finds the fire hose. And Natalie and Steven, our lovebird couple, they just abandon her. They run and they go to the principal's office and you get a game of cat and mouse through the school with the kids and the neon maniacs.
Yeah.
And okay, question. Steven and Natalie are hiding and he promises he won't let anything happen to her.
I'm not going to let anything happen to you.
Do they get it on?
Yeah.
Because I think it's heavily implied.
I do agree that it's heavily implied.
That's why I like you.
Well, I mean, nothing makes sense. So like, why, like in many movies, it does this, right? Horror movies are like, oh wait, we're about to die. Let's fuck. And I believe that in like the world's ending scenario, like Armageddon's happening. Yeah. All right. Let's just throw caution to the wind. Let's get some pleasure going, but not when someone's chasing you. Like, not then. That's not when that happens.
And that's what was happening. I mean, it was like Jurassic Park raptors in the, you know, cafeteria hunting the kids. That's what it was like. So, and do you remember how they transition out of that scene? Because I wrote it down.
I don't, but I do think before it transitions out of that, we need to mention the out of nowhere, another, I know it's a surprise, another out of nowhere maniac. Because a Vietnam vet neon maniac shows up with a machine gun and just lets loose on the dance floor.
So terrible.
It's just out of nowhere, and it's just a mass shooting. No one gets hit, seemingly. And then Paula, you know, gets him down with the water.
Somebody had access to a costume shop, and they just put these people in costumes and then put goop on their face.
Yeah.
And that's what it took to be a neon maniac. But okay, so how they got out of this is they just cut away. There's no shot. There's no shot of them. There's no That's shot of right. anyone escaping. They're in the cop's office. They're but now Devin's back.
Oh shit!
Inspector Devin is back, and they're sitting in his office. They went from hiding in a deadly threat situation in the high school to sitting in his office with no explanation of how they got out.
Yeah, no, they just went, oh, how do we get out of this? Eh, fuck it, cut away.
We don't have the money or the time to get that done. So this is the part, though, that I was referencing earlier when Inspector Devin buys in. Because we have seen him a couple times earlier, but he does nothing. I mean, he does nothing. So now he has a great quote. The kids are just sitting there, and Devin is pacing around, and he says,
"You're telling me that these things are inside the Golden Gate Bridge, one. Two, that they only come out at night. And three, that they're responsible for the death of 15 or more kids and three of my police officers."
But he's in on it. Like he believes them. And that's where I was like, that's really cool and kind of funny.
Yeah.
So Devin gets everybody. He gets a ton of cops. He gets fire trucks, and they head right to the neon maniac hideout.
Yep. Right to the lair. Yep. This is where we get that big scene. They're going to go into the lair. They're going to hunt down all the neon maniacs. It's going to be a badass fight scene. It's going to be amazing. Describe to the listener how that went down.
Well, they go into the hideout, and it's like an old warehouse in there, and they don't find anything. And then
then something cool happens.
Well, then they leave. They all just leave.
But you forgot the part where they had a big fight and like everything was super awesome and badass and there was cool guck was sprayed everywhere on the walls and then like the noose guy hung himself and then like all that cool stuff. The motorcycle exploded. It was really cool, right?
None of that happened. Nothing. No.
Son of a bitch.
That would have been the proper act three. As it is, there is no act three to this movie because I'm not kidding you. They just leave. They get there. The neon maniacs aren't around. It's an old warehouse, and Devin's like, well, okay, no one's here. Let's get out of here. The kids, Natalie, everybody, they drive away. Devin, however, which this kind of sucked, he sees a light after everyone's gone in a back of an ambulance, an old ambulance, because there's probably like a paramedic neon maniac, who knows. And he investigates, and he gets pulled in, and then we cut to Paula, Natalie, and Steven in the car, and they're talking about how the rain isn't going to last.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Oh, yeah, because the rain hurts the maniacs. Yeah. Cool.
But
so then there's going to be this big onslaught of maniacs after the rain stops. So they got to fight them off the next day.
Maybe, but that's where the movie ends.
Oh.
Just right there.
Just right there?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's that's why it's so weird. Like, there's, it just ends. No, there's no ending. Yeah. It's so weird. And there's no fight. And the characters that are, you've been following through the whole movie.
No.
Don't do anything. They go to the place and then they drive away from the place.
My notes at the end are the hell, the fuck. That was pretty great.
Yeah, that sums it up very well. It's a fun ride, but at the end you're just sort of left wanting more, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely wanted more. I mean, I liked what was going on. It kind of, even with the lack of like explanation of stuff, there was still a lot of like fun things that was going. It wasn't a very slow movie. Things kind of kept happening. So I think that really helped ignore the fact that nothing made sense. It was just kind of like, oh shit, I guess we're doing this now. All right, cool.
So Mike, if you were a neon maniac, like what would be your thing?
Well, I mean, there was a few holes that they didn't fill and I'm surprised, and maybe they just got cut out. But I think a cool neon maniac would be like a neon maniac chef.
Ooh.
So you can have like a big old like butcher's knife and something like, you know, some cool stuff like that. Maybe a big old pot. I don't know. Something that it'd be a fun one. I think it'd be fun to be a chef.
I like that. If it were going to be me, I think, you know, since, you know, I like the whole movie making thing, I would want like just my head to be just a big camera, and not like a modern like digital camera, like a like 80s style big film camera.
Oh, that'd be great. Cause Paula's a filmmaker in this, right? Paula's making these little films.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you and her could be like the opposites.
Right.
Like you guys meet at one point and have a big stare down, and then like, there could be some, you know, drama that happens. Cause like, you're the dark side of her or something, you know, or the shadow version.
Yeah. Like she's filming me and I'm filming her.
Oh yeah.
That could be pretty
great. That'd be sweet. I'd be into it. I'd be way into that.
Rating time.
I mean, are we doing globs of gook or are we doing...
What about just because there's so many neon maniacs? How about just how many neon maniacs?
All right. I'm into that. Fuck. Well, I didn't think about this. I guess I don't know why I didn't think about if we were rating or not. I really liked this movie. I thought it was really fun. I would love to watch it again. And, you know, God, fuck it. I'm going 80 neon maniacs.
Very nice. Yeah, you know, I really liked it too. It was fast. I mean, we didn't even talk about the scene where it's raining blood on Natalie in her pool and everything just gets covered.
Yeah.
I mean, like everything gets covered in crazy amounts of blood. Like there's just always stuff going on. And the fact that there is so many neon maniacs, you're never watching like the same creature too often, you know? Like you're,
no.
They definitely keep your interest. So yeah, I think I am going to go, this was just off the top of my head when I thought about it, going 82 neon maniacs.
Oh,
I would love to watch this again too.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just have to watch it again sometime.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. And again, you can see it for free on Shout Factory or YouTube. Mike, thank you for joining me on this journey through neon maniacs.
Jay, riding through the subway tunnels of San Francisco with you and those neon maniacs was a delight. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for choosing me. I'm obviously your number one favorite B-movie maniac. And so I appreciate that. And thank you, listeners, for listening in. We got this off-season stuff going on. Last week was the Diary of a B-Movie Maniac. There's going to be more of those coming up during the off-season. But coming up next is going to be a very spooky special announcement. It might involve a special Halloween episode.
Ooh.
By that, I mean definitely. We'll be doing that. So, so we'll have a special little thing. It'll be spooky.
Ooh.
Yes.
Also, folks out there, if you enjoyed our first season of the podcast and you enjoy what you're listening to right now, we would humbly ask that you please review us on your podcasting service, you know, be it Stitcher, iTunes, however you find us. Reviews really do help us. It helps other people discover our podcast. I think it has something to do with our ranking. I don't know. That stuff is all those algorithms and stuff are,
ugh, math.
You know, they're secrets. But we're trying to, you know, expand our listenership. So that would really help. What would also help is if you follow us on Facebook, which you can do, and chat with us. You can follow us on Twitter at BMM Podcast, right?
Yeah.
We're pretty active on there. We're pretty active on Instagram at B-Movie Mania. We post little clips and things on there and photos of our strange-looking faces. So please, follow us, review us, tell us what you think. I would like to give a special listener shout-out right now to Ryan Green. He's out there in Oklahoma listening to the podcast. He touched base with me not that long ago, and he said he's listening to the podcast while he works out at the gym. So I take pride in the fact that we are literally helping to reshape his body.
Yeah, and he's looking good too. Like, he is a sexy beast.
He's got like the beard, you know, like very sort of like woodsy fella.
Yeah, and a big old thick dick. Like, it is.
Okay, all right.
It is choice. Okay. Great A choice. Well,
yeah, that was Neon Maniacs. We gotta go.
Holler.
Before this gets worse.
Ryan.
When the world is ruled by violence and the soul of mankind fades, the children's path shall be darkened by the shadows of
the movie.